Today I am sharing a message from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, which read as follows in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say it to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes may in him have eternal life." These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify them in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Even though there are those who despise the word of God as it is printed, we know, Heavenly Father, because of the experiences that we've had with you, that Jesus is real and the word of God is real. And so we pray for your people today. We pray for the church. We pray that many in the church might have a new birth in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. The scripture for today's message, as read previously, is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now, the message of Jesus Christ is a very radical message. His message is so very radical that the world has a lot of difficulty understanding. Why are not more people saved? Why do they resist? I think it is because the message of Jesus is so very unusual, it is hard to accept. Therefore, many do resist. Maybe for you it was not hard to accept Christ. I trust it was not, and that all of us who are listening to today's Truth for Today radio broadcast have accepted the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it may not be hard for you to understand and accept it. I do believe that there is a struggle with sin, and that all of us have to face this struggle. And it is during this struggle that many lose out. Janet Alraise told me of a story people have in Islamic countries. They struggle with the death of Jesus as the way of salvation. I do believe that many struggle with the death of Jesus too in this country. Even for us who have accepted Christ, it is often very difficult for us to believe what happened on the cross is the basis for our salvation. In order for any of us to come to the fullness of salvation, we need to accept what the Bible says. God said it, we believe it, and that settles it. The message is radical because Jesus gives a complete new beginning, a new start to everyone who repents of sin and believes in Christ. Jesus calls this new start, the new beginning, being born again. As Jesus said to Nicodemus the teacher, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Sometimes I am in absolute wonderment at Jesus and the message of salvation. And each of us who have received Christ must at times feel this way. We simply must go back to the Scripture and accept what that Scripture proclaims. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again." Jesus saw right in the heart of Nicodemus. Nicodemus's heart was empty. He was searching for the truth. But Nicodemus was an honest man and asked Jesus for the truth. Nicodemus had acknowledged his sin. We see that in verse 19 of this text today from John chapter 3. You see, Nicodemus really wanted to know the truth. And Nicodemus had a very serious question. It evidently was bothering him. So Nicodemus meant business with Jesus, and he asked a very honest question. How can one be born again? Do you have to enter? You can't enter into your mother's womb again. The question had to do with the various miracles that Jesus had done too. Now, Jesus did not address himself to this matter of miracles here. The important thing was Nicodemus. His spiritual well-being was more important to Jesus than an answer to the question of miracles. People are always more important to Jesus than their questions. Some try to derail the counselor or the pastor or the Christian and get away from the question, are you born again? Are you saved? See, the important question was Nicodemus' relation to Jesus. Nicodemus needed to become part of the kingdom of God. And this, in reality, was what Nicodemus wanted. We might paraphrase his question this way. Do I become part of the kingdom of God through you, Jesus? Are you the one who has come to save Israel? Nicodemus, he was a teacher. He was a leader. He saw that Jesus was a teacher too, and he saw he was a leader also. He saw that Jesus had something that he, Nicodemus, did not have. Now, I suppose all teachers like to compare and discover new things about teaching. We pastors do that. We like to compare and to listen to other sermons and messages or read them and compare or add to our own ideas on a message. And there was, of course, something very different about Jesus and his teachings. Now, Jesus saw right into Nicodemus's heart. Jesus saw what was really needed there. What was needed for Nicodemus was a new birth, a new beginning, a new start. What was needed for this teacher, for this leader, was to accept the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, Jesus knows what you need too. We all need to reveal ourselves to Jesus, and we all need, as you do, to be born again. Something so wonderful happens when one is born again. What happens is life-changing. It is so wonderful that it can be accomplished only by the power of God. So what happens cannot really always be explained. It can only be experienced. And then the new birth experience is not always accomplished in the same way. That is, everybody's experience is not the same, but the results are the same. A young man, recently married, came to evangelistic services at the church that I served. He had been in my high school Bible class. I knew him well. He came right up to the front of the church, right in front of the pulpit, and there, sobbing, listened to the message, and when the altar call was given, he bounded up, and he made a prayer of commitment to Christ. A few days later, I asked to see him, and he had a question. He asked me, "Pastor, when did I really get saved?" I said, "That's a pretty good question. And it's not for me to answer, because the most important thing is that you know that you're saved and that you know Jesus Christ, that you're really truly born again." Was it when he got into an argument and fled to the church? He seemed to know where to go. Was it as he responded to the message, prayed to have Christ in his life and heart? All these things could have been true. He might have been a Christian since baptism. Not often, but it does happen. It is not a reformation of the old sinful nature, you see. It is the actual creation of a new person. The repentant sinner receives a new nature from God. Actually, it is the very nature of Jesus Christ himself. The new birth is like having surgery where the sinful old nature is rendered inoperative. That is, God sees it that way, and is destroyed and continues to be destroyed until one rests in the arms of Christ in heaven. The new birth is accomplished by the will of God. The new birth is never accomplished by the will of the one being saved. Although the one being saved, listen, is made ready to be saved by the word of God, the new birth is by the will of God and not by the will of flesh. John 3:21, "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." And 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable," that is, through the living and abiding word of God. As Nicodemus found out, the new birth is not like the physical birth. There is pain, there is struggle. Sometimes the physical birth goes fast, sometimes it goes slower. But a new person emerges and is born, and after the birth matter is thrown away, it is forgotten, it is discarded. It is absolutely necessary for the birth to take place. It has to take place, and it will take place. Otherwise, there will be continual pain and discomfort. This is something like the sinner who has not repented and come to Christ. If there is no new birth, that sinner continues to have problems and difficulties because sin binds the person. Sin is the person's master. Sin has control, and there has to be pain and discomfort. Especially is that true as God works in the hearts of people. The Holy Spirit causes pain and discomfort. However, when the person comes to Christ and is born again, there is an afterbirth which is thrown away. This is the sin which binds the person. It is thrown away by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is discarded and forgotten. A new birth has taken place. And when a person gets a new nature from the Lord, there begins a struggle of a different kind. Paul speaks about the struggle between the old nature and the new in Galatians 5:17, where it reads, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Jesus then continues through his Holy Spirit to deal with our sin, and through his prayers, we are forgiven daily of our sins, we are regenerated and made new daily. Now this is important for the Christian to remember, since the Christian is in such a struggle. John says it this way in 1 John 2:1-2, "My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for those of the whole world." You need a lawyer to present you to God. And that lawyer, that advocate, is Jesus Christ. Now, do these verses of Scripture from John chapter 3 point to the sacrament of baptism? I have always felt that they do. The Church has always taught that children, anyway, are born again through baptism. We want to see children baptized. Baptism is commanded by God, and it's not forbidden in the Scriptures by direct command not to baptize infants. I could spend more time on this subject. There is no command against baptizing of infants, so we do as commanded. In the Free Lutheran Church, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, we do not preach the hellish doctrine, once baptized, always saved. Children must also see sin in themselves, and they must also be Spirit-led to receive Christ and become a Christian, that God would do something in their lives for their sake. Now, children need godly parents. Parents who instruct their children in the Word of God. They see to it that their children are in church and Sunday school. They read the Bible together, and more. However, to go out and begin to baptize adults who have not given a testimony of faith in Christ and are not repentant and so forth is not to be done. Baptism alone in the case of adults does not save by itself. For believers, it should not be disregarded, however, because the Lord wants us to be baptized. And the Free Lutheran Church accepts every mode of baptism, as all other denominations or synods of the Lutheran Church, as long as the person is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We could say more here, too. Can a person see heaven if they are not baptized? Well, I should think so. A friend of mine didn't think so, but I cannot understand his thinking. Because baptism is not on the side of the law, it's on the side of the gospel. Now, while baptism is not required for salvation because it's not part of the law, baptism should never be neglected. I presently know one young man who still is not baptized. He's nearly 30 years of age, and he claims Jesus as his Savior. Personally, I think this young man should be baptized. However, I must leave this matter with the Lord. The new birth was illustrated by Jesus. He illustrated it by using the Old Testament account of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. The people had been complaining. They'd been murmuring and grumbling about all their problems and trials, and God disciplined them by sending fiery snakes to bite them. God instructed Moses to put up a brass serpent on a pole, and then when the people looked up to the brass serpent as individuals, they were forgiven and healed. In the same way, we look up to Jesus on the cross, and we are forgiven and healed. looking to Jesus is the new birth, whether baptized or not. This instruction on being born again was not just for Nicodemus. It was for you. It was for everyone. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and Lord? Then the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be given unto you. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you today for what you have given to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is Pastor Dennis Gray. You have been listening to the Truth for Today radio broadcast on KDLR Radio in Devil's Lake.